Welcome to part four and the finale of our series, Vessels of Honor. And let me just pause right here, as I always like to do in this part of our service, and welcome all those that are with us by way of online technology. We're so glad to have our online campus with us. Can everybody give it up for those that are with us? We're so glad you're here. And it's so awesome to hear some of the responses of people. We had people actually were with us yesterday for a finale, a live service yesterday at 10 a.m., and heard some great feedback from that. So exciting to see what God is doing and how He can reach beyond these four walls and make a difference. So I want to just preface this installment of this part of our series with a little bit of explanation. It's going to be a little different today. It's going to be a little different. Now, if you're new here today, normally what we have are message notes, and we have scriptures and fill in the blank, and I have a lot of scripture up here and a lot of points. I put it on the screen, you fill in blanks. Today is going to be a message that's going to be very, very different. If you look in your worship guide, you'll find a blank message note piece of paper. And I just want to encourage you, there may be some scripture I reference, you can put that on there. And put on there whatever God leads you to put on there. But I want today us to really lean in and listen intently, because I believe God has really been wanting to say something specific, especially in this week. The Lord gave me this several weeks ago, and I said this is going to be the message at the end of this series. Now, let me just say, preachers borrow stuff from preachers. You all know that happens sometimes? And so I want to give credit to Pastor Jensen Franklin, pastor of Free Chapel in Gainesville, Georgia, who I stole this from. Okay, just letting you know. All right. So I want to give him full credit, but I really do believe that God directed me to this message. And I believe it's very timely, one of the best messages I've ever heard Pastor Jensen Franklin speak on. And that was when this series was already set to happen. I felt like God said, this is something I want you to share with your church, with those on our online campus church. I believe that God has something specifically to say. So I want to say, give me some fresh ears and some fresh eyes, and I want us to look at what I believe God has given to us. And I give credit to Pastor Joseph Franklin, and we give all the glory to God. Amen. So I want to begin with a scripture that's found in 2 Kings chapter 4. So if you open your Bibles and turn with me there, or we'll have it on the screen for you, you can open your Bibles or turn on your Bibles, whichever it works for you, okay? But look at verse 1, if you would, with me, that says this: "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be slaves.' And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you?'" And then he asked this question: "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Again, this may be very familiar, but I want you to listen to this very carefully. I want you to hear how many times the word vessel is used in this scripture. And then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, You shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went out from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Meaning there was more than enough, okay? Look at verse 6 again. I want to go back to verse 6. He says, Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. The oil ceased. I want to speak to you on the topic, be the vessel. Be the vessel. And here's the scene. Two sons are going to be taken into slavery because there was a debt that could not be paid. The woman's husband had died, and the law in that day said that if you owed a debt as a family you couldn't pay, that they would enslave the next generation. And so you see the picture. The creditors have come. They're knocking on the door. They've got chains in their hands. They're ready to take and enslave the next generation in that household. I just want to say it really speaks to the spirit of this world, to the enemy of our soul, the devil or whatever you want to call him, but he is very, very real. And he is coming to enslave. He's wanting to take and enslave the next generation in your house, in my house, in our families, and in this nation. And he's knocking on the door of the church, and he said, "I'm going to get the next generation, and the only thing between me and the next generation being enslaved," listen to this, "the only difference between the next generation being enslaved or being enslaved or being free is one question, and that is, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "I have oil." Now notice, the only thing that can stop the next generation from being enslaved is oil. Oil in Scripture represents the Holy Spirit, the miracle-working power of God, the presence of God. Our children are going to be taken if we don't get a miracle. And the only thing we need is oil to keep the next generation free. Now notice the problem. I want you to notice several things here. Notice the problem is the absence of the oil in the house. It's not the absence of oil in the house. Listen, it's the addition of other things. It wasn't until she got down to, "I don't have anything but or left," that she realized what the answer was. So here's what I want us to see this morning. The oil is not the problem. The answer is not out there, it's in here, it's in the house. The problem is not the lack of miracles, it's not the oil, it's not the dreams that God has, it's not the resources. God's got everything, right? God owns it all. There's no lack to His supply. That's not where the problem is. The problem in this story is wrapped up in one thing, and that is, can God find vessels for the miracle? The prophet asked, "What do you have in your house?" Notice, what you have in your house can help bring a miracle to your house, or can hinder a miracle from coming to your house. It's a good question to ask in this day and age. What do you have in your house? What's in your teenager's room? Come on, what's in your living room? What's in your kitchen? What's in your house? What's on your computers? What's in your cabinet? Come on, are you with me? Okay, I'm going to preach a little bit today. I'm going to jump into the deep end of the pool. Now, a lot of times we get in the shallow end of the pool. We want to make it user-friendly, all right? But we're going to go a little deep today. Can everybody go deep? Everybody can swim, right? Okay, I'm just you know, we'll get back to the shallow end and give some, you know, next week. But look at this. What's in the house? What are you allowing in your house? Our homes are to be places of prayer, of places of worship. Our homes are to be places of respect and honor. Our homes are to be places of love and Bible reading. Noah had an altar before he had a home. Many of us have a home, but we have no altar. Think about it. Notice she said, "All I have is a pot of oil." And he said, "All I need is a vessel. I just need a place to put the oil in." The problem is not the oil. The miracle that you need, that thing that you've been longing to see God do, it's not a problem. God's got it, but he needs somewhere to put it. If you give God the vessel, listen, he'll give you the oil. He'll give you the miracle. He'll fill your home. He'll fill your life. He'll fill your children. He'll fill your marriage. He's looking for a vessel. So if you won't, listen, but you got to give God the vessel. If you give God the vessel, he'll give you the oil, right? And if you want something from God, listen, it's no problem. But here's the thing. It's not what's in heaven that's the problem. It's what's going on here that's a problem. God said, "I need something to pour into." And the woman helped. Listen to this. The woman helped God in this miracle. The woman helped God in this miracle. Notice what the prophet said. He said, "Go borrow vessels, not a few." Now look at this. Not a few. Go borrow not a few. Get all the vessels that you can get, is what he was saying. You see, God never runs out of the supply. He just needs the vessel. So there's no end to the supply. As many vessels as you can supply, the oil is there. So the problem is not the supply, it's the vessels. He just needs vessels. So go borrow vessels, not a few. And notice, listen to this, she determined the magnitude of her miracle, not God. Right? She determined that by how many vessels that she offered God. She had to get a lot of vessels. Our problem is we say, "God, I want a miracle. God, I want you to do something really huge in my life." And then we offer him a pint-sized portion of our soul. Think about it. I just want you in certain parts of my life. I don't want you in all of my life. I've said it before. You've heard me say it around here. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If he's not at the top of your list, newsflash, he's not on your list at all, because he has to take first place. And when he takes first place, everything else is going to line up perfectly and your life is going to work. Okay, I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect, but it's going to be in order. God's going to order. God's going to give peace to your life when you put him in his rightful place. So she had to get a lot of vessels. Our problem, again, we're not giving all to God. God said, "It's not up to me." That's not the problem. The problem is I need some vessels. Then look at this. Then she shut the door. What God is going to do in your life is going to require some seasons of separation, of pulling away, of being different. You know, listen, we're not just being different to be different. We want to be different so we can make a difference. There's got to be a difference. You follow me? That's why we set aside 21 days of prayer and fasting, because we want to pull aside. We want to see God do something. Listen, you tithe your time. That's what Pastor Chris Hodges was saying yesterday in our live service. Listen, we're tithing our time that God's going to, in 2019, is going to do some amazing things. But we've got to pull aside. The oil is moving. God's doing amazing things in this world. I don't know if you've noticed. I mean, there's revival and there's amazing things happening even outside of this country that's astounding. And so the oil is moving. Today the oil is moving and God is moving. But the issue is, again, vessels. Notice, whenever the vessels were full, the oil stopped. The oil stopped when there was no place to put the oil. Listen, as long as you have vessels that are empty, God will fill them. Now let's just imagine this in the natural. Let's say you go to the grocery store. You're picking up some things you need at the grocery store, and you got your bread and your milk and your eggs and you got your mayonnaise and your mustard and you got your cereal and you got your all this stuff, you know. And you go to checkout, and the guy at the checkout counter, he says, they said, "We have no bags." You know, usually they say plastic or paper, you know, whatever. "No, we have no bags." "Well, how am I going to get this to the car? I need to do something with this. I got to have a way to get it from where I am to the car." So, I mean, how am I going to do this? I mean, I love the product. That's why I came to the store to get the product. Nothing wrong with the product, but I need something to put the product in. So here you go. You go out. Here you go. You're going to your car, and you pick up everything in your arms, you know, and you drop the eggs, and you drop the jar of mayonnaise, you know, and you're trying your best to get it in the car, right? And the problem is you need something to put it in. I mean, if you were to ask me, you know, can I have some coffee? I would say, well, do you want some coffee or do you want a cup of coffee? I mean, I could give you some hot coffee. I can just throw some hot coffee on you. I want some water. Yeah, but do you want water or do you want a cup of water? Because I can throw some water on you. Who's in the splash zone right now? You know? Think about it. So you order a pizza, and the pizza guy comes to your house. He rings the doorbell, and he's got the pizza, but no box. And you got cheese running down off of his elbow. And he says, here's your pizza. And you know what you would say. Where's the box? I mean, are you crazy? Well, you didn't say you wanted a box. You just said you wanted a pizza. But you got to be kidding me. I got to have a box. You know, I need a box to put the pizza in. Now, I don't know if y'all have broken fast yet. I don't want to show you the front cover of this from Marcos. Shout out to Marcos. But you got to have something to put the pizza in, right? You need a clean box to put the pizza in. Now, if you research this, you'll find out that this only costs 39 cents for the box. So notice here, it's not the package that gives value to the content. It's the content that gives value to the box. Isn't that good? That's right. So it's not very complicated. You don't have to be great. You don't have to be super good looking. You don't have to be super talented or the sharpest on the block. All you need to be, look at this, is to be clean and empty for them to be able to put the product in the box, right? God says if you'll be clean and empty, listen, the oil is not the problem. The problem is I need vessels to put the dream in. Give me, listen, God says, I'll give you a successful business. I'll give you a successful life. I'll give you a successful marriage and a successful family. But I need a vessel to put the Bible. I'll even be able to make, listen, I'll bless you and have you to make multi-millions, but I can't trust everybody to stay clean and empty if I fill it. Right? It's not about what God wants to do in our life, but it's the vessel. God says, I'm looking for a vessel. Our job is to stay clean and empty. He says, I need a vessel. And then I could put my power in it. I could put my miracles in it. I could put my oil in it. Now, we're going to go a little deep here, okay? Everybody ready? All right. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, God gave dominion to Adam. He gave him dominion over the earth. In one translation, it says that he was the ruler of the planet and every creature is subject to you. So that includes aliens and angels, species, and anything that's not born of the earth. So God puts his spirit, listen, he puts his spirit that lives in that body, and he gave man dominion over that. Now look, your body is the vessel, okay? Now think about this. Our body is the vessel. It's the box. And God's spirit lives in it, right? Your spirit lives in it. Any being on earth that doesn't have a body, and listen to this, any being that doesn't have a body on this earth is here illegally. I know, we're going deep. Listen to this. Satan was a fallen angel. He was not born on earth. God gave dominion to homeboys only. You see what I'm saying? Right? You got to be born here. He gave dominion to Adam and Eve, right? He gave dominion to us. So the devil, look at this. The devil comes in and he has to borrow the vessel of a snake that was earthborn. I mean, why didn't Satan just walk into the garden? Because he did not have a vessel to come legally through. Just hang on here. Don't leave me now. We're building something. It'll land right. So he borrowed the vessel of a snake and came into the garden, right? By the way, if you study scripture, you'll find out that snakes used to stand up. But then they got defeated. Okay, all right, okay, that's a little best I can do. Okay, come on, laugh a little bit. Somebody help me, somebody, okay, all right. But he comes in a body. He needed a vessel or a box. And the snake, listen, he comes in legally by coming in through a vessel, right? And he comes in and he thinks he's won and he strips Adam and Eve. Listen to this. He strips Adam and Eve of their dominion. And Satan now becomes the god of this world. Now listen to this. God is a spirit. He's not earthborn. And he will not go against his own word. So he can't come down illegally. So he says, I've got to find me a vessel. And so for 42 generations, he searches and seeks to find a clean vessel. And he finds a 17-year-old empty vessel by the name of Mary. And he says, I finally found me a vessel that I could put my oil into, that I can put my miracle for mankind into, that I can put my healing into, that I can put my redemption into. And so the angels are rejoicing around Bethlehem because God's found him a box to put Jesus into. And Jesus became flesh. And so listen to this. This is amazing. God, the one who heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool, condenses himself down to an 8-pound baby boy. He went into a box. We call it flesh. Flesh named Jesus. The box was called Jesus, and it was 100% man. The contents was Christ, and it was 100% God. Come on, everybody. The box was brand new, but the contents was the Ancient of Days. The box would get hungry and have needs, but the contents had all power. It was El Shaddai. He was all sufficient. And come on, isn't that great? Because God found a vessel. Why do you think the devil had such a fit when Jesus showed up on earth? We see it throughout Scripture. God will not do anything until he gets a vessel. And that's why when Moses was born and Moses was about to become the deliverer of a generation, the enemy put out a decree through Pharaoh to kill all the babies. He had to get rid of the vessel because if he could get rid of the vessel, the oil would stop. And no vessel, no oil. Right? He had to get rid of the vessel. When Jesus shows up, he has Herod to kill all the babies. Think about it. Thus, we understand abortion in our day today. And I'm not here to get political. I don't care which side you're on. What I want us to see this morning is the enemy is after your body. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about the body is the temple. Don't you know that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? It's where our body is where he resides. It's the vessel. It's that place where he dwells. It's the body is the box. So this thing is not just about a bunch of rules and being legalistic and about the do's and the don'ts and don't get high and don't get drunk and don't sleep around. Listen, God is not a killjoy, but what we see in this is that God needs empty, clean vessels, and the enemy knows it. That's why he tried to seduce Samson. That's why he tried to seduce David. That's why he wants to cripple you and I in addiction and with drugs and partying and smoking weed and getting high, because if he knows that if he can destroy the vessel, the oil will stop. He knows the oil cannot go into that vessel because it's not clean and it's not empty. Right? We're missing the miracle for which you're put on this earth. If all you want to do is just party and abuse this body, your life, you're missing out on the miracle for which God had you be born in this body on this earth. Amen? We're missing that. And the devil knows the power of the oil. His only hope is to mess up the vessel. The oil that is, listen to this, the oil is what kicked him out of heaven. The oil is what defeated him. The oil is what cast him out. The oil is what breaks his power over people. As the only hope, if you just get the vessel messed up and some addiction, shooting up, smoking up, sleeping and partying around in adultery or whatever that looks like, if I could, Satan's just saying, if I could just mess up the vessel, I could stop the oil. If there's no vessel, there'll be no oil. The devil is here to destroy your body. Come on, turn to somebody and say, the devil hates your body. It's true. Think about it. If a Martian came down to this earth, right? You know, little green antennas. And you see a guy stepping out in the parking lot of a party and he's smoking some weed or something. You know, he's smoking. And the Martian comes up to this young guy and says, "What are you doing?" "Man, smoking a cig, man." "What is a cig?" "Well, you know, it's this rolled up paper here, you know, that's got this stuff in it that you set it on fire and you put it in your mouth and smoke it." "What does it do for you? Does it make you feel good? Does it help give you a healthy body?" "Oh, no, no, no. It actually takes 15 years off my life. It destroys my brain cells. It destroys my heart. It destroys my lungs. You know, it's every time I smoke it, it takes 7 minutes off my life. It gives you bad breath. It gets a little crud right there in the corner of your mouth if you're a chain smoker." "Why do you do this? Do they make you do this?" "Oh, no, I like doing this. This makes me cool. You know, I like doing this. It just..." If he had any sense, the Martian would fly off to his planet and report back that there's no intelligent life form on Earth. Now, I'm not here trying to make anybody feel bad, but I'm just trying to say the things we do to our own body. When the Bible says, "Know you not that your body is the temple of the..." We come into church and we say, "Oh, it's holy. Take your hat off. Don't cuss here." We'll cuss in the parking lot, but don't cuss here. We're going to behave because we're in church because it's a holy place. Guess what? This isn't the temple. Newsflash, you're the temple. What would your life look like if you treated your body like it was holy, like the church is? You are the church, right? This is not about legalism. This is about this fact, and that is the enemy hates your body. He hates your purity. He hates your virginity. He hates your holiness. He hates your cleanliness. These things matter to God. They matter to the Lord. He is looking for a generation to raise up. Come on, a generation that will say, "I'll be the vessel. Come on, I'll be the vessel for whatever heaven's got to put inside of me that I can make a difference to this world. I'll be that vessel. Come on, I'll be that college student. I'll be that student in high school. I'll be that student, or I'll be that person on the job. In that home, I'll be the vessel, God, that you can use." Now listen to this. The Bible says that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus, dwelt bodily in Jesus. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus. Think about this. The fullness of the Godhead crammed into this one box. It's amazing. It's a miracle. And Jesus is walking around with all of God in him. It's like, you know how you used to do these water hoses and you pinch it and go just all that just crammed in, right? Think about it. No wonder when the box would walk into the temple, the demons would scream, right? No wonder that the woman with the issue of blood said, "He's got so much God in him. All I need to do is touch the hem of his garment and I'll be made whole," right? Think about it. Jesus. Amazing. Satan says, "I got to stop him." Jesus is running around and he's raising the dead and he's healing the sick and the lame are walking and the blind see. and lives are being changed forever. We've got to stop him. We've got to stop him. And how can we stop him? He's changing cities. He's changing lives. And the devil says, I can't get rid of the oil, but I can get rid of the vessel. And so he got Jesus, and he took him to the courtyard, and he said, I'll whip him with 9 cats of tails. And we'll beat him, and we'll spit on him, and we'll put a crown of thorns on his head, and we'll nail his feet to a cross, and we'll nail his hands to the cross, and we'll pierce him in his side, and we'll destroy this vessel. And he nailed him to the cross, and here he is hanging on the cross. And at 3:00, Jesus exclaimed, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I'm finished." He said, "It is finished." And they took Jesus, they took the vessel, they took the box, and they laid it in a borrowed tomb, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And the demons began to dance and said, "We got him, we killed the box." They began to do the square dance. I don't know how to do the square dance, but can you just see them backing up? "We got him, we got him, we got him, we got him. We got him." No more power, no more freedom, no more loving people. No more going to a woman who's been married 5 times and down her 6th one, living in adultery and delivering her and setting her free. No more going to the woman and saying, "I don't condemn you, but neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more." No more of that, no more of that, right? No more of that. And so the body is put into the tomb. It's placed in the tomb. And there it is. We got him. It's over. It's finished. And here's what I want us to see. The body is in the tomb, but the contents went down to what some call hell, but it was really a section of hell called Hades. And he preached to those souls that were there in a waiting place. It was in a section there, it was in a holding place, and he began to speak to them and began to preach to them, and he established the first soul train. Y'all not old enough to be no soul train, right? And he said, "Adam, get on my train. Abraham, get on my train. David, get on my train. Deborah, get on my train." Come on, somebody. He began to take them out of that place. And 3 days later, 72 hours later, Jesus' body was laying there. And the Spirit, listen, caused him to rise from the dead. Think about this. He's laying there. And as he's leaving, though, the Bible just tells us that he got the keys from the devil. Listen, the devil is so defeated that he doesn't even have the keys to his own house. Think about this. That's why he can't keep you in bondage, in that addiction, in that prison, and that guilt, and that shame, and that condemnation, because he doesn't have the keys. Jesus gives us freedom. He has the keys that unlocks every prison and every addiction. Come on, he rose from the dead. Let me just pause right here for a moment and say this. Jesus has a great business mind on him. I mean, why would he want to borrow the tomb? Why would he want to borrow something that he's only going to use or need for 3 days, right? Why would he buy something that he's only going to need for 3 days? He's only going to borrow it. Don't buy that sickness. Just borrow it. Come on. It's temporary, because Jesus has already declared that he has set you free. Don't buy that depression. Don't buy anything that Jesus has already overcome. So he borrowed the tomb. And because he's only going to need it for 3 days. Now look at this. He borrowed that because he's only going to need it for 3 days. But get this, he bought you and I. You get that? You're not your own, the Bible says. You were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Present, according to Romans chapter 12, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that you should be a clean and empty vessel. That's reasonable because God's purchased your body. Come on, keep yourself in that way, right? So he expects us to keep ourselves from sin. Now we know it's grace that saves us, but we have a part to play in this, to keeping ourselves in a place where God can use us. So he borrowed the tomb for 3 days, but you and I he purchased because he wants us for eternity. And listen to this, one day the trumpet is going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise again into new life. And that's why we could say, oh, death, where is your victory? Grave, where is your sting? And this body, God so values this vessel that the body is going to, the body is going to be resurrected from the ground, right? So that's how much God values the body. So here it is that he laid down his life for us. He laid down everything for us. Would you see this? Think about this. He laid everything down for us. And Christ walks in resurrection glory. Resurrection power. Resurrection power. He laid down in resurrection power in that body, and all of a sudden, think about this. So on the third day, Jesus lays down, or he walks up in there in resurrection power, and Christ joins this body, right? Hello, Christ. Hello, Jesus. Are you okay? Well, I don't look okay, but I feel pretty good. I feel amazing. And now he's in this body, and he's walking around, and the Bible describes that he walked around for 40 days in this body. In this resurrected, now glorified body. Let me just share this with you. You know why he didn't get his wounds healed? Because in the Old Testament, the mark of the covenant is circumcision. But in the New Testament, the covenant is the mark of the body on Jesus. And when you get to heaven, you'll be able to walk up and touch the stripes. Come on, that brought your healing. You'll be able to see the piercings in his hands and his feet and the wound in his side that saved you, where the blood and the water poured out to cleanse you. You'll be able to see the mark of the covenant for eternity, that bought you, that set you free. Isn't that amazing? In closing, Dwayne, if you'll help me. He rose from the dead. But have you ever thought about this? He never performed another miracle, even though he walked around for 40 days in that glorified body. Now he's got a glorified body, and he's not earthborn anymore, right? He's got a glorified body. You see, God needed a vessel to do the miracles through. He's got a glorified body now. So you don't see him doing miracles after the resurrection, but now he turns to his disciples, and he says, go, heal the sick, raise the dead, set people free. Come on. He says, you're now the vessel that I have chosen to use. And he turns to them. And so he turns to them, and then he says this. He says, go and tarry, wait in the upper room. And so 120 vessels went into the upper room. And they got clean. And they got empty. Are you hearing me? They got clean and they got empty and they got washed in the blood of the cross. And they said, we're empty vessels. And they said, Lord, we're here. We want to be your vessels. We don't have everything, but we have what we have is a vessel that we offer to you. And if you'll send the miracle, we'll be the vessel. We'll carry the power. If you'll send the oil, if you'll send the miracle, we'll be the miracle, we'll be the vessel to our cities and to our nation and to our world. All God needs is a vessel. The only problem is, does he have a vessel? God could save the whole world tomorrow. But all he needs is vessels to work through. The only thing between that happening is, can he find a vessel on the job, in the classroom, on the college campus, in the home, in the neighborhood, in the city? Can he find a vessel that he can flow through, that he can put his miracle in and flow his miracle through? So when you drive up to Cross Point and you see people in the parking lot parking cars and welcoming people, as a vessel. When you see people in the nursery or taking care of kids, teaching them about Jesus, those are vessels. Come on. When you see people at the door greeting people, or vessels. People at the altar on our prayer team, they're vessels saying, I want to be the vessel. When you see musicians up here and singers that come each week and spend hours and hours preparing, that could be home watching TV, but no, they said no, but God needs a vessel, someone that he can pour his oil through. I'll be the vessel. I'll be the instrument that God can work through. He needs somebody that he can flow this music through to set the captives free. Amen. Amen. You see, a mother doesn't put milk in a dirty bottle. You're either a container for trash or treasure. I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm a grace preacher. But if you're looking at pornography, it's like getting a blood transfusion from hell. The enemy knows that it's not even so much about the sin. It's that he just wants to mess up the vessel any way he can to prevent the oil from flowing through that vessel. So God calls us to keep ourselves. He saves us by his grace. We can't do that. Only Jesus can do that. But then there's a responsibility about walking in grace. I mean, in walking in, not only in grace, but in righteousness, in his righteousness as he enables us. Because grace is not just unmerited favor. Grace is the enabling power of God to be what he's called us to be and to do what he's called us to do. I want to make sure I stay clean and empty. Clean and empty. So that means I'm not going to try to look as close to the world as I can and still get to heaven. No, I'm going to get as close as I can to Christ so that I can reflect Christ. The more we come to Christ, the more we reflect his image. We're conformed into his image day by day. So I want to get closer and closer and closer and closer to Christ and further and further and further from this world. Now, I'm still in this world to reach this world and to love this world with the love of Jesus, but I'm not of the world, and I don't act as the world. I don't behave as the world. I don't go the places the world goes. I don't do the things that the world does. I pray that this church will become the vessel that God can use. I told my wife yesterday, I said, our church denomination, I don't think they got it so wrong when they declare themselves as a holiness church. It's a holiness church. And I'm not here to judge anybody or put my convictions off of you, because if I give you a list of do's and don'ts, that's not what's going to change your life. It's when the Spirit of God comes in, and by his convicting power, he comes and he makes you righteous, and he causes you and teaches you how to walk holy and live this thing out holy. You need him, not me. I don't need to give you a list. But I will tell you this, without bringing conviction on you, I don't want to talk like the world. I don't want to act like the world. I don't want to walk like the world. I want to act like Jesus. I want to talk like Jesus. And I want to walk like Jesus. Amen? And whatever that looks like for you, whatever that means that we have to do, I don't want to lose you here. But I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to smoke weed. It's everywhere. Trust me right now. And it stinks like a skunk. Hello, everybody online. It stinks like a skunk. Newsflash, you stink like a skunk if you're smoking. I'm just letting you know. I'm not going to drink any alcohol. Whoo, I lost somebody there, didn't I? I'm not touching it. Your conviction between you and the Lord. I got to set myself apart from that. Not only that, I may lead somebody down the wrong path. You may be able to handle it. Your neighbor, the one watching you, your child may not. As the parent goes, the child will follow. Parents, can I just pastor the church a moment? I'm not trying to be hard or legalistic. I promise you, I'm not. You know me. I'm just letting you know. God's looking for a vessel that's clean and empty. God's not the problem. And I say all this pointing back at me. It hits me hard. I'm saying, God, I had a meeting last Sunday with leaders. What can we do different? What we can change up? What can we freshen up? What can we want to be more effective? We want to do what God's called us to do. But I walk away from that and I look in the mirror and say, God, is it me? Is it me? Is it this vessel? I pray that each one of us can do that. We can look in the mirror. The Bible says when we look in God's Word, we don't look, listen, I said last week, was it? Don't just read the Word, let the Word read you. We don't look in the mirror at ourselves and then walk away and deceive ourselves. The Bible says that that's what we do when we look in God's Word and we don't change ourselves, right? There's some changing that we all got to do. That's why we do small groups. We're all in this together. We're not perfect, okay? Right? Well, I have a responsibility as a pastor. Come on. We become vessels of honor. That we can be meat for the master's use. I didn't give you the theme scripture we've been going through. In 2 Timothy, it talks about if we will be sanctified, that means set apart unto him. Then we'll be prepared and meet for the master's use unto every good work. God's got a work for us to do this year in 2019. And I'm just saying, allow God to come in our life, to be Lord in every area of our life. So we need to keep ourselves. We're saved by grace, but there's something that we can do before he can pour into us. We've got to be empty and we've got to be clean. Acts 9 and 15, listen to this, and I'm going to close. Paul is described as being a chosen vessel in Acts 9 and 15. I just want to say, don't forget who you are and what you were born for. And he says, if you'll lend me your body, I'll lend you my power. If you'll lend me your body, come on, I'll lend you my dream. If you'll lend me your body, I'll give you my talent. If you'll lend me your body, I'll give you my vision. We give him the vessel. All he needs is a vessel. Would you bow your heads with me? God, thank you for these vessels here today. God, search our hearts. And we pray, God, let us receive fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. I'm going to do something different. I want to have you stand to your feet. Would you stand with me? And I want us to do this. I'm going to have you sit back down in just a moment, then we're going to close. I want you just to reach up your hands, your arms. If you feel comfortable in doing so, would you do that? Just, you know, it's like a funnel. And would you just pray your own prayer today and just say, God, let me be a vessel. Flow into me. Flow into me. Yes, I'll be your vessel. Yes, I'll be your instrument. Come on, just say it out loud. Just say it out loud where your ears can hear it. God, let me be the vessel. Lord, I love you. Lord, I give you my life. Lord, I surrender. Just put it in your words. Lord, I surrender. I give you everything. Let me be the vessel. Let me be the vessel. Look at me for just a minute. You don't have to be spectacular for God to use you. You can be a 39-cent box. And God can still use you. God can heal you. It's His power, not your power. Here's what I want us to do. A little different. I told you today is different. I want you just to, would you just put your hand on somebody's shoulder near you? And I just want us to pray for each other. Lord, help us to be the vessel. God, encourage us today. Encourage your church today. God, you're ready with the oil. You're ready with your miracle. You're ready for with the answer. You're ready, God, to save that child, that daughter, that son. You're ready, oh God, to bring students at UNC Charlotte to Jesus Christ. You're able to change that classroom and change that teacher. You're able to change that boss, that coworker forever. You're able to change their life. God, use us to be your instruments, your vessels of honor, we pray. God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want us to pray a prayer together. For those of you that, I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. But there's some of you that says, I'm not his box. I'm not his vessel. I'm not. I don't even belong to him, but I need to know him. I need him in my life. I want to pray with you right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right where you are. I'm not going to embarrass you or have you come to the front. I'm just going to pray with you right where you are. But you say, I want to be the vessel. I need Jesus in my life. I need to come into my heart, make me brand new. I want to pray, lead a prayer with you. If that's you, would you right now, would you just slip up a hand just so I can see who I'm praying with? Just slip up a hand. Yes, yes, yes. Good job, good job. Awesome, 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 awesome. So proud of you. Yes, yes, thank you, Lord. If you're watching online, would you join us online and pray this with us? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm just going to help you with the words. All you've got to do is mean it. Would you pray something like this? Would everybody pray in support out loud? Come on right now. Everybody just pray this prayer. And if you need to pray this prayer, all you got to do is mean it. Everything's going to change. Father, come on, just say this. Jesus, today I give you my life. I give you this body. This box, this vessel. Today, God, I thank you that you're for me. You're not against me. Lord, you care about me. You died for me to change my life forever. I invite you to do that now. Come in this heart. Come in this vessel. Make me brand new. I turn from my way to your way. From my will to your will. I accept you now as Lord of my life. God, use me. I know greater now is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I accept you now. Help me now to follow you with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for every person who prayed the best prayer, God, they could ever pray in their life, and that's making the decision of allowing you to come into their life. Now, Lord, would you now fill their vessel, fill their marriage, fill their home, fill their family, Lord. God, fill their life, I pray. Guide them, use them, Lord God. Lord, let the oil come now. Let your anointing come. Lord, let your power change everything. May you break everything off of their life that's unlike you, God. Lord God, may you destroy the works of the enemy. That addiction, Lord, we break it in Jesus' name. That depression, that anxiety, Lord, that fear, we break it off of them in Jesus' name. We declare them free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, give him praise in his house. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.